So we started the new Mishnah on Daf Chav Dalet Amud Beis, and the Mishnah establishes Elu Heina Psulim, offering a list enumerating the witnesses that are disqualified. We have Mesachi Pekuvia, we have Malva Beribis, Mafriche Yonim, Soche Shvius. Let's first focus our attention on Mesachi Pekuvia. And we'll take a look at Rashi. Rashi says that Mesachi Pekuvia would come under Kulon Me'ein Gazlonim. So Rashi says that what is the common denominator to all these psulim is they're all Ke'ein or Me'ein Gazlon, meaning they're not real Gazlonim, that nobody put his hand into anyone's pocket to steal his money, but there's something that smacks of gzela. And in the case of gazlonim, a real gazlon would be posel midoraisa, and Rashi says HaTorah Omral Teshes Rasha Ein, and then Rashi adds Kolshke Dayan. Now later on, when Rashi gets to Sochrei Shvius, who are violating Kedusha Shvius by selling their pairs of Shvius on the open market for the purpose of making a profit from Shvius, Rashi says Hoil v'chimud mamon maviro al divrei Torah havile kerosha dechamus upasul ladun ulahoid shenota achar. Rashi says if someone is so pushed and motivated to make money that he's willing to violate the Torah law, such a person is disqualified under the law of Rasha de Chamas. And it seems clear from Rashi that everything on this list in our Mishnah comes under Ke'ein or Me'ein Gzela, which means it can be subsumed under the Pasuk Altatius Rasha Eid, and that would be the source in the Torah for the Psul of Eidus. Now I'm not sure if Rashi has the word Chamos. Let's go back to the Rashi about Mesachi Pekuvia, and if you'll notice, Rashi says Altatius Rasha Eid. It's interesting because the next word in the Pasuk is Chavos. Somehow Rashi omits that. I have a little hay here in my Gemara, and I'm just wondering if that hay is relevant to us. I don't think it's relevant to us. So now if you take a look at the page that I photocopied, if you're on the left column, about five lines down, he says the Sfirle LeRashi. Rashi omits the word Chamos. Shegazel lo tzarch letaymed avi Rasha de Chamos. That there's going to be a category called Rasha de Chamos. We'll have to figure out what that category is. And then there's a category called a Gazlan, and that category of Gazlan is independent. It's a separate category. It doesn't have to be subsumed under Rasha de Chamos. It's possible liedus because of Gazlan. And that's the answer. That's the end result. It's a gazlan who's posuliyedus. Now we're going to have a sugya on Daf Chav Zayin, which is the famous sugya of Abaye and Rava, which we mentioned earlier today. And that's the case of someone who violates the Torah, and it would seem to have nothing to do with gzela whatsoever. For example, he will eat nevela, so he eats non-kosher food, l'teyava because he has that taiva, he has that desire, and he cannot overcome his desire. And the Gemara says that he, this mubar, who is dead set, and almost you could say he is a repeated criminal, so to speak, right? He has a almost an addiction to eat nevela. He's posuliatus. Now, why is such a person posuliatus? Number one, he's not a Rosh of the Chamas, he's not a Gazlan. So Rashi explains that if, let's say, you would put two pieces of meat in front of him, one is kosher and one is non-kosher. If all things are equal, he would eat the kosher meat. He's not what you call a mumar lahachis, you know, to deliberately try to rebel and violate the Torah law. He is a mumar l'teyava. Now it could be that he may be able to spend a lot more money to purchase kosher meat. But lo shchicha bezol, it's not in the market for him for him to buy cheap kosher meat. It's going to cost him a lot more money to buy this kosher meat. So Rashi says that if he would push himself, he would find a way of buying kosher meat, even if it means he's got to ship it in from far away and jack up the price of the meat. He's not willing to do so. So Rashi says that even though if he had two choices and all things were equal, he would eat the kosher meat, and he's not a mumar lahachis. Why is he posuliedus? So Rashi says the reason why he'd be posuliedus is because for the love of money, he's willing to violate the Torah law. Correct. But the question is why an ochel nevelas l'teyavon would be posuliedus. So Rashi comes up with a whole new theory. Rashi doesn't think the fact that he can't overcome his desire to eat meat in and of itself would not be sufficient grounds to disqualify him for testimony. There has to be some element of Rosh Hashanah, of what we call chibud mamon. So Rashi says that, you know what element contributes to his eating these non-kosher foods? It's the monetary element. It's the fact that he doesn't, and he's not willing to pay a higher price for kosher food. So Rashi says, Kevod, this is what we want to underline. About six lines down from the top. The Kevod de Mishum Mamon Ka'ovid. If what motivates him to eat nevela, again, if all things were equal, he would eat kosher meat, but it's mamon, he wants to save himself the buck, to ashchicha bezol tfei mehatera, because it's a lot easier and more common to pay a cheaper price for nevela than for kosher meat. Havile, again, we want to underline these words, havile kirasha dechamas upasulyedus. Everybody agrees that someone who will violate the Torah for the sake of money, in this case he wants to save himself some money, and therefore he eats the vela, is posuliedus. That's called Rasha de Chamas. Again, he's not a gazlan. He hasn't in any way caused anyone a loss of money, he didn't steal anything, but yet he's a Rasha de Chamas. Rasha de Chamas means he's a Rasha because of Chamas, because of Mama. In order to save himself money, he eats the veil. Now the Gemara goes on and presents the machlokas between Abai and Rav. What happens in the case of a person who is offered two pieces of meat at the same price, one kosher and one treif? He will eat the treif of meat. That's called a mumar lahachis. There's no monetary element in the equation. He's just not interested in the Torah law. Abaye Omar Apostle, Rav Omar Kosher, Abaye Omar Apostle, Havilei Rosha, Rachmana Omar Altatius Rosha Eiv. In other words, Rava is going to bracket the word Chabas in the Pasuk. He's going to stop after the word Rosha, and he's going to assume that a Rosha, ipso facto, is Pasul Yedus. Rava says, no. The Pasuk says, Altatius Yod Chalios Eid Rasha Chabas. The Torah adds the word Chabas. You know what? It would be Kedai, perhaps, if Steve, you would mind doing this for me, just to open up the Chumash, and let's see the Pasuk inside. I'm going to tell you where the Pasuk is. Shmos Perek Chav Gimel. I don't remember exactly which Pasuk is, although I did tell you this earlier today, but now it skips my mind. But let's go on as you're looking. What is Rava's argument? Rava says that there's got to be some element of chamas here, of the love of money. So Rava Omar Kasha, Rasha the chamas being. Okay, what does it say? Altatius Yodcha in Rasha Leos Ein Chavas. Say it again?
It's Toshis.
I don't hear you. So.
It's Toshis.
Altatius.
Oh,
Toshis. Okay. Altatius Yodcha in Rasha Leos Ein Chavas. So Rava puts all the emphasis on the word Chavas, and he says that if he's a Mumer Lahachis, then he's not a Rasha de Chavas. He's a Rasha because he's a Mumer Lahachis. Now, in Machlokas Shin Abaye v'Rava, we have a few exceptions, and we pass like Abaye against Rava. This is one of the exceptions to the rule. And we pass it like Abaye, that once he's a Rasha, he's Pasul. And the Torah says, Altoshes Rasha Eid. Rava says, no, we need a Rasha de Chamas. So we pass it like Abaye. And therefore, if we go back to Rashi in our Mishnah, you remember that we were wondering why Rashi in the Mishnah left out the word chamas, when that seems to be the essential definition of who's possible. And the answer is because we're going to accept, and Rashi's going to reflect the Shita of Abaye, that you can bracket the word chamas and just emphasize the word Rasha, and that itself is enough to passel him for Eidus. Even though he's not a Rosh of the Chamas, he's passel. Now let's fast forward to the second Rashi that we mentioned, the Rashi by Sochrei Shvius. All of a sudden, with regard to Sochrei Shvius, Rashi reminds himself that we need a Rosh of the Chamas. And Rashi says that this person, because of his chibud, his love of money, will violate the Torah. That makes him into a Rosh of the Chamas. Which is very odd, because Rashi himself, in the earlier Rashi, reflecting Abaye, says Rosh itself is enough. So that Sochrei Shvius, forget about the element of chibud mamon, even regardless of chibud mamon, he should be possibly Eidus B'Torah's Rosh. He quotes here in Amuki Yosef that Abaye Shita is that anyone who violates a lotaseh in the Torah is called a Rasha. And a Gazlan is Posel Yedus because he's a Rasha. No less than anyone else who violated the Torah law, he's a Rasha. In the case of Sochrei Shvius, Lechora, he violates the Torah law of Kedusha Shvius, he should be Posel as a Rasha. Says the Amuki Yosef, that there's no lotase in the case of Sochrei Shvius. The Torah says, Li avda v'lo l'schora. In other words, from the fact that the Torah says that your mitzvah is li achla, to eat the Peres Shvius, and it implies that you're not allowed to sell the Peres Shvius, do a merchandise, and make the Peres Shvius into merchandise. That, he says, is called a lav habamachal essay. And the psul of Rasha, even according to Abaye, would not apply when there's no lav, when it's michlal esse. And therefore Rashi is compelled to find some sort of alternative explanation in the case of Sochrei Shvi'is. He can't just say that Sochrei Shvi'is is a Rasha, because a Rasha would have to be someone who violates a Lotas in the Torah, and there is no Lotas in the case of Sochrei Shvi'is. He doesn't violate a Lotas. Hence Rashi is compelled to introduce a whole new element into the equation, and that is Chibud Mamon, and making him into a Rasha to Chabas. But again, with the exception of Sochrei Shvi'is, the general rule is any Rasha is Pasul Yedus if he violates a Lotasa, even if he's Lahachis, even if he was offered two possibilities he would do the Avera, he's not doing it because of any monetary gain, he's not motivated by Chibud Mamon, but he's Pasul. But in the case of Sochrei Shvi'is, insofar as there is no violation of a Lav, we have to find a different explanation. And here's where Rashi breaks new ground, and he says that he's a Rasha de Chamas, because of Chibud Mamon, he violates the Torah. So according to Rashi, if we summarize, we have two different categories of Psul Eidus. We have something called a Rasha, and that reflects the Shita of Abaye. Anyone who is a deliberate violator of the Torah law is Psul Eidus. And then we have another category called Rasha de Chamas. And Rashi invokes that category in the case of Sochrei Shvi'is, says the Muki Yosef, because Sochrei Shvi'is is not a violation of a lav in the Torah. And Rashi therefore has to introduce Chibud Mamon. But let's take, for example, a Gazlan. A Gazlan, according to Rashi, would be possibly Yedus, not because of Rashi the Chavos, but simply because he's a Rashi, he violates the lav lo sigzal. Now we have a Rambam. In the 10th parak of Eidus, Harishoyim Psulim Li Eidus Minator Shnev Alteshes Rasha Eid. Who does that sound like, Rabosai? Do you hear? Abaye. For two reasons. First of all, the Rambam talks about Rishoyim in general. He doesn't mention Chibud Mamon. And secondly, he leaves out the word Chavos in the Pasuk. Now let's see if the Rambam clarifies this more explicitly. He says in Halacha Beis, in the same chapter, Ezu Rasha Kol She'avar Avera She'chayovim Aleha Malkis Harezer Rasha. So it could be inferred from the Rambam that, like the Muki Yosef, Sochrei Shvi'is would not come under this category of a Rasha because he doesn't get Malkis for selling Peres Shvi'is. But let's say he violates the Vela, and for that he's a Rasha, and he gets Malkis, is then he's Pasul Yedus. Sharei HaTorah Kara L'Mechuyev Malkis Rasha. Shenemar V'im Bin Hakos HaRasha. This is really interesting. The Rambam, to justify the Psak and the principle of Abaye, quotes an entirely different parsha in the Torah. We're no longer in Parshas Mishpatim, because you could have argued that Parshas Mishpatim is limited to a Rasha de Chamas. We have to invoke a whole other parsha to prove that someone who's Chayv Malkus is called a Rasha. How do we know that someone who's Chayv Malkus is called a Rasha? Because the Torah says, V'haya ibn hakos ha-Rasha. Which means that the Shliach Bezdin has to mete out Malkus to this Rasha. The Rambam says, V'od yesh reshoim sheim psul, v'yedus afal pi sheim b'nei tashlumin, v'yedam b'nei Malkus. The Rambam wants to know, what happens in the case of someone who violates a lav in the Torah, but he's not Chayv Malkus, for whatever technical reason. And we'll see the examples as we go along. So how do we know that such a Rasha is Pasul Yedus, if he's not included on the Vahoya Ben Hakos HaRasha, he doesn't get Malkus? Now, the Rambam tells us, why doesn't he get Malkus? We have a principle called a lav hanitak litashlumin. I think, Mitch, you and I learned this way back when, am I right? You with me when we learned Malkus, or is that just my imagination?
It probably could be, but my memory you can't trust.
Can't trust. I think you were there when we learned Malkus. Anyway, One of the principles of Masechta Makis is that if the Torah says that if you violate the Malkus, you pay a penalty for that, that's called Tashlumin, then you don't get Malkus. The Tashlumin is a replacement for the Malkus. So, for example, a Ganav has to pay Kefel, and a Gazlan has to pay Keren. Once there's Tashlumin, there's no Malkus. So what would be if a person is guilty of violating that kind of a crime, but we alleviate his malchus because of its tashlumin element? How do we know that even such a person is included under the shame rasha and is posuliedus? So the Rambam writes, Od yesho b'shom shem psuliedus afal pishein b'nei tashlumi eno b'nei malchus hoil v'lokhin mamon she'eno shalahem. Here's where the Rambam introduces the extra word chamas. If we only had the word rasha in the pasuk, we would include anyone who violates a lava gets malchus for that violation. We would exclude someone who doesn't get malchus for that violation. Now the pasuk adds the word chamas to tell you that if money is what motivates the person to violate the Torah law, then even though he doesn't get Malkus, he's posel under a new category called Ein Chamas. And the Rambam is going to flesh out the examples here. He says, Kigon, Haganovim, Achamsadim. So again, you have a Gazlan who has to pay, and therefore he should not be posel Yedus because he's not a Rasha who is Chayv Malkus, but yet he's posel Yedus under the word Chamas, a whole new category of an Eid Chamas. So the Gvuras Yitzchak here summarizes the Rambam, and he writes, the Gazlan is posel, according to the Rambam, Tam Rasha de Chamas. He would not be included under the Pasuk Al Toshes Rasha Eid. And the reason for that is because he's not Chayv Malkus. But yet, the Rasha de Chamas category includes a Gazlan. That a Gazlan, even if he doesn't get Malkus for violating the law and stealing, nevertheless, he's considered a Rasha de Chamas. So now, let's say you had an aide, a witness, who was not a Rasha de Chamas. He's just a Rasha. He violates the Torah law, and he's Chayv Malkus. He would be posel Yedus. And in addition, we have another category. What if he violates the Torah law and he's a Rasha, but he doesn't get Malkus for that violation? So then he can only be disqualified for Yedus if he comes under the category of Rasha de Chamas, which would apply to a Ganav and a Gazlan. Tesfirlei la Rambam, this is about 8 lines up from the bottom of the page, de lo mikri rasha lifsol edus el kein over alaver shechayv le malchus. Aye, what about a Gazlan? He doesn't get Malkus. So he's not posel edus under the category of rasha, but rather he is going to be disqualified for testimony under a category called Rasha de Chamas. A person who for the sake of money will violate the Torah, he comes under the category of Rasha de Chamas. Now let's go back to Rashi and compare Rashi to the Rambam. The Rambam, we saw very clearly, the Rashi holds that you don't have to violate a lav and that generates malchus. Any violation of any lotas in the Torah makes it into a rasha, and therefore, according to Rashi, a gazlan would come under the psul of rasha. We would not be compelled, according to Rashi, to justify the psul of gazlan by introducing a whole new category of Rasha de Chamas. That's only true according to the Rambam, because the Rambam holds that Rasha means he violates an Iser Malkus, In the case of Gazla, he doesn't have Malchus. He doesn't get Malchus. So therefore we have to passel him on the Rosh of the Chabas. But Rashi doesn't drops the requirement of Malchus. And Rashi holds that any Avera that you violate makes you into a Rasha. And Gzela is also a violation of a Lotase. And therefore we consider the Gazlan as a Rasha. So again, according to Rashi, Gazlan is a Rasha no less than any other Rasha who violates the Torah law, and therefore he's possible. According to the Rambam, a Gazlan is possible the Torah's Chama, the Torah's Ein Chama. And now we're ready to flip the page. Now I'm going to guess, we'll see if I'm right, my hunch is that the Shulchan Aruch and Chol Shel Mishkan is going to paskel like the Rambam. We're in Siman Lamed Dalet. Ezu Rosha Kol She'over Aver She'chayov Le'em Malchus. This is the Rambam sheet. Now Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz, who writes the famous super commentary on Shulchan Aruch Chol Shel Mishpat, that's up until the Ketzos, who came 100 years later, but that was the magnum opus. He writes, what's going to be the deal with a Chiyuv Malchus, which is a lav that's nitan lasiris lazhoras misas bezdin, that potentially for violating this lav you could be condemned to death, and in such a case you don't get Malchus. Until now we were discussing a lav anitach l'tashlumin, now we're adding another exception where you don't get Malchus for violating the lav, that's called a lav anitach lasoras misas bezd. Would such a person who violated a lav anitach lasoras misas bezd be posel yedus? He says, we come and come nifsal. And why is that so? Just one second, there's a printing mistake here. Dezeno lekalosis. Oh, I see what he's saying. In other words, why is it that he's not getting Malchus? There, in the hierarchy of lavim, a lav sheish po Malchus is right in the middle. Below it are lavim that don't generate Malchus, like we spoke about Sochre Shvius, right? It's only a lavim of Michal Essay. Above Achiv Malchus is a case where you deserve a more harsh punishment, and therefore we alleviate you of the punishment of Malchus. That means that the Aver is that much more Chamura than Achiv Malchus. And the Tumim wants to claim that in such a category, there would be a psul edus, and that's a chiddush because he's not going to get Malchus. And the Shulchan Aruch writes that you're only psul edus if you're a Rasha and you chayv Malchus. Says the Tumim, what the Mechaber is coming to exclude is from Malchus and down. Meaning a violation which is less severe, and therefore doesn't generate Malchus. Like it's only a lava mobile call essay, let's say. But from there and up, where the Torah says that this is such a terrible violation, it's so severe that you could get Misa, you could be condemned to death. In such a case, the fact that we alleviate him from Malchus is not because of the Kalos or Isur, the light. Weight, you know, element to Misa, but rather because of the Chumras HaMisa, Bakmas Chomer HaMisa. Now, what about the case of a Lav HaNitakli Essay? The Torah says that instead of getting Malchus, you fulfill a certain essay. So let's say he takes the mother bird and the fledgling bird together, instead of sending away the mother. So in such a case, the Torah says, you don't get Malchus. Why? Because it's nitak liyaseh, because the Torah now commands you to send away the mother bird. The eno nitak l'malchus ki chayav olav lahotzi levatel ha'isr. Wow. Rabbi Yonah Sinaibichitz is coming up with a pretty revolutionary idea. I don't know where he gets it from. But he's suggesting that in the case of a lava nitakli essay, and there's no malchus, he really is guilty of a chiv malchus. And again, hence it means he's a Rosh's posuli avus. Why isn't he getting the malchus? Because the Torah is giving him an option to fulfill an essay. And he writes, Ki chayev olav lahotzi. Now, I don't know what he means by lahotzi, but he says, Ulevatel ha'isur. Which means the following. Let's say he took the mother bird and the fledgling. What we're going to say to him is you have to send away the mother bird. That's called the lav anitak liyesa. You violated the lav, you took the emal abonim, now you have to send away the mother, that's your rectification, so to speak, of the lav. However, let's say you took the mother bird, and instead of sending it away, you slaughtered the mother bird, you shechted the mother bird, in such a way that you made it impossible to fulfill the essay. And that's called, in the language of Shas, bitlo velo bitlo, which means that whether you get malchus depends upon your decision in the following choice. You have two alternatives. Bezin is going to say, look, if you keep the mother bird alive, then we're not going to give you malchus. But if you shech the mother bird, that's called bitla essay, then we're going to give you malchus. In such a case, we see that it's chumras ha'isur, meaning it's not that the Torah alleviated you from malchus in the case of a lav anitak lesei because of the lenient nature, the low key. Nature of the Avera. On the contrary, the Avera is an Avera Chamura that would generate Malchus. The only thing is the Torah wanted to give you another option. As long as you have that option, then there's no Malchus. But once you destroy that option, you'll get Malchus. He says, therefore, Rabbi Yonah Sinaibichitz, Lav Anitak Lesei Eino Nitan LeMalchus Ki Chiyuv Ol Lahotzi Levatol Yisru Vemes Ibitlo Olokimu Kefi Das Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Chayav Malchus, who came Einze Lekalus HaInyan. The reason why he's alleviated from Malchus in the case of a Lav Anitak Lesei is not because the Lav is Kal, but rather because the lav is more chamur, hence he would be possibly able to be din Russia, even though there's no malchus. So we have now case number one was a lav anitak li asharis misis bezdin. Case number two was a lav anitak li essay, and now we have case number three, and that is lav she'ebo maisa. So what happens? Let's say he curses someone when he's not allowed to curse them, nasigam kolosar. Or let's say he takes a shvua and it's a shvua sheker. In those cases, he didn't do a maisa, and that's the category that alleviates him of malchus is called a lav sheimo maisa, and he doesn't get malchus. Oh, says Rabbi Yonah Sinaibichitz, hula kalus ha'idyan, not because the Torah wanted to be more machmir with you in the case of a lav she'ebo maisa. It's not at all similar to the lav anitak lasharis misis bezdin or to the case of a lav anitak liesei. Now we're talking about a lav she'ebo maisa. If it's ebo maisa, the Torah says that's less severe of a violation. That's called a kalus in the violation of the lav. And the Torah says because it doesn't meet up to the standards, the base, low bottom standards of Achiv Malchus, therefore you parted from Malchus. You didn't do the Isur, it was done, but without an action. Even cursing Hashem would come under Lav She'ebo Maisa. There are certain exceptions to the rule where you do get Malchus, even if it's a Lav She'ebo Maisa. But let's say, for example, Nosar. right? He leaves over the kodshim beyond its allotted time, he doesn't eat it. Or chavetz at Bal Yerobai Motze, he leaves over the chavetz past the Shasi Sura. In those type of cases, he's alleviated from Malkus because there was no mice and the Torah patters you up because he didn't do anything active. What would be the status of a person who violates a lav shem of mice as far as Eidus is concerned? He would be kosher Eidus. Why? Because that's where the Rambam, and following in the footsteps of the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch, says that he's considered a rosh and he's posel because he violated an aver shechayovim alehem malchus. And a lav she'ein bo maisa is a lav that doesn't generate malchus. And again, keep in mind that category of lav she'ein bo maisa stands in contrast to the other two categories that we discussed of nitan lasaros misus bezdin, or a lav hanitak li essay. Now, if not for the tumim, if you would ask me for a knee-jerk response, I would have said that a lav hanitak li essay is also kalus ha'inyan. The Torah is saying, instead of giving you malchus, you know what, fulfill an essay.
Isn't it
straight Gazlan that also? Oh, so the case of a Gazlan should fit under the category of a lav hanitak li essay.
Yeah.
And if it's a lav hanitak li essay, he says that it would be included under Rasha. Correct?
Okay.
Why? Because of the chumras havera that it's nitak li essay, therefore you don't get malchus. And anything according to Rabbi Yonasan Ivish that's lechumra, and you're alleviated from Malkus because it's more chomer than a case of Malkus, is that's called a Rasha. Now we just finished saying that according to the Rambam, we need two categories. Am I correct? Let's go back to the Rambam. To lo mikri Rasha lifts only Eidus, elkein over alaver shechayov and ala Malkus. And then we had to introduce a whole new category of Rasha to Chamas in a case where he violates an Avera that does not generate Malkus. One second. And the Rambam derives this conclusion that the Rasha is Chayav Malkus, and that's why he's possible for the Pasuk in Hoya V'Hoya Ben Hakos HaRasha. The Rambam then introduces a whole other category in the case of Ganovim Chamsonim and Gazlonim. Harez apostolates Mishosh and Godam of Gazal. The Gazal apostle, oh, this is the main line here on page Yud Ches, about eight lines up before the end of the page. He says, the Gazal apostle, Rak mitam Rosh and the Chamas. So, Mitch, you point out very well that if we take the insight of the Tumim to its logical conclusion, there's no need for the Rambam to introduce Rasha to Chamas in the case of a Gazlan. He should be posel b'toras Rasha. That, despite the fact that there's no Malkus, because it's a lav hanitak le'essay. And according to the Tumim, a lav hanitak le'essay is potter from Malkus, not because of a kalus ha'inyan. So it really is an avera chamura. He says, "Bazu in the case of a lav shei bo maisa lo nifsal l'dasa ramam mehat Torah ki ein ha'isu kol kachamur." Oh, harei kasa matumim sheha over a lav hanitkali esay nifsal li edus. Why? Because it's more chamur than a case of a lav sheish bo malchus, and it's not similar to the case of a lav Hanitan l'tashlumin, or alav shebo meiser, ulefi dvarav, yesh lomar derashi shekosav shegazlan posel mitam altesius rasha aid, v'afil lo havi lav to chomis bebis lo svirle kanibuki yosef to call over al lotus and great apostle. Could be that Rashi holds like the Rambam, and you need a king of Malkus. But Rashi holds that nevertheless a Gazal will be possible despite the absence of Malkus, Why? Because it's not machmas kula that he doesn't get malchus in the case of a lavanitik essay. In fact, if he would be mevatel the essay, then he would be chayiv malchus. Ulam, here, bitches, this is your point. Ulam harambam sovesha lav digzela mikriya vera she'ena leha malchus. The ein lifsol gazla gak mitam rosha the chava. So he's saying that Rashi would classify gazlan as a rosha. And the reason for that is because his exemption from malchus is based on the fact that the avera is an avera chamura, and in fact in Bitlo he would get malchus. The Rambam, on the other hand, for some reason unknown to us, maintains that in the case of gzela, since it's a lav she'emo malchus, he's not posel li'edus. So we would have to introduce the second category called Rasha de Chamas.
Isn't that a straight Mishnah that Gazal is Posolemus?
That Gazal is Posolemus. But the question is under what category? Is he Posolemus under Rasha or under Rasha de Chamas? You remember the Rambam had to introduce a whole other category called Rasha de Chamas in order to Posol a Gazlan. Without the Rambam, we would have said, based on the logic of the Tumim, that in the case of a Gazlan, he's possible because he's a Rasha. You'll ask me a Kasha, but the Rambam says only a Rasha is Chayv Malchus. The answer is that here he's not Chayv Malchus because of the Chumra Savera. We jack him up to the next level. So let's see if we can just fit in another few lines. He says, V'hine atumim kosav, v'lav anitak li esei, Bikri Avera Sheyeshbo Malchus, right? Because what happens if he destroys the mother bird, or in the case of Gazlan, if he destroys the object that he stole? So then he's Chayev Malchus because of Bidlu, because of Bitl Esay. And now we have another Mandio who says Kimo. He says, Yesh Lechalek, if not for the Tumim, we would have logically distinguished between these two categories. The Madi Omer who says Kimo v'lo Kimo, and the Madi Omer says Bitlo v'lo Bitlo. If I hold Bitlo v'lo Bitlo, then he's Chayef for the Lav when he's Mevatel the Essay. If we hold Kimo v'lo Kimo, we're going to give him an option, and he has the alternative of fulfilling the Essay. If he refuses to do so, we'll give him Malchus on the spot. Which means that he's really Chayv Malchus for violating the law. If I hold Bitlo, the low Bitlo, he's not really Chayv Malchus for violating the law. He's Chayv Malchus for being Mevatel the Essay. And I'm thinking out loud, I'm wondering if you hold Bitlo, the low Bitlo, at what moment, at what moment in time would we have to give him a Hasra in order for him to be Chayv Malchus? And the answer, I believe, is right before he's mevatel the essay, right before he shechts the mother bird. Which means he's chayav now for shechting the mother bird. He's not chayav for taking the mother al ha'em, ha'em al ha'bonim. He says that the Gemara in Makis, we'll see if this goes fast, if not I'll drop it for tomorrow. He says, Toni tana kami de Rabbi Yochanan kol mitzvah slota se sheyesh ba kuma se. Is Kim Esse Shema Potu, Bitel Esse Shema Chayav. Tani Bitlo Velo Bitlo, Meshlokish Ome Kimo Velo Kimo, Vemaika Biflgi, Vasra Sofik Biflgi, Mar Sovar, Hasra Sofik Shme Asra. Mar Sovar, Hasra Sofik Lo Shme Asra. Pirush Rashi, Rav Yochanan, Sovar Hasra Sofik Shme Asra. The Afgav de Chol, Lota Sashenitakli Essay Lidvarov Hasra Sofiki, and Rabbi Yochanan is holding Hasra Sofik Shmei Hasra Hareksha Overal Alav Tzorchla Hasrospo. He's not learning the way I suggested that the Hasra would be right before the Bittel Essay. He's assuming the Hasra has to take place before he violates the law. And that's by definition Asra Sofik, because we don't know what he's going to do, what he's going to do down the line. Is he going to ignore our warning that he has to be Mekayim the Essay? So that's called Asra Sofik. Okay, I think we'll stop here. Let's make a note of where we got up to. We're sort of like on the bottom of the right column of Daf Yutes. And maybe we'll get a chance to finish this up tomorrow. Okay then? One of the questions I'd love to address, and I'm hoping it's going to come a little bit later in the essay here, is what's the difference between calling him a Rasha and calling him a Rasha the Chabos? It's a very abstract conceptual difference, but does it cut ice? Is there any nafkibi? Okay, then I wish you a great day. I'd like to, right? Tomorrow's not a good day for you, right?
No, tomorrow, Wednesday is good for you.
Oh, Wednesday is good for you. So we'll try to wrap this up tomorrow.